so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want you to go with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. And then also go with me to Philippians. Two verses of scripture that I'm going to just take our text, and I'm going to give you a bunch more. So you might want to take out a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen and write a few of them down, because I'm not going to give you time to get to all of them. Amen. Glory to God. I want to talk to you this morning about God is at work. He is at work. He's working on you and he's working on me. He is at work. Look at your neighbor and say, and thank God for that. Now, if you feel real brave, look back at him and say, because you need it. Now, that was if you was brave. If you're honest, look back at him and go, because I need it. Come on, somebody. Psalms 32 and 8 says this: I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I will guide you with my eye. My Lord, do I need his guidance. I need God to guide me, and it's a promise that he's going to guide me. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Now, his eye sees more than what my eye sees. His eye sees the past, sees the present, and sees the future. His eye knows where I'm headed, even when I don't. Remember, God is at work. Philippians 1:6, many folks could quote it, but being confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Would you just throw up one hand and go, God, complete it in me. He that began a good work in you will complete it. He that began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I want you to do two things before I go any further. I want you to lay one hand on yourself, and I want you to lift one hand up this way. I'm battling a little sickness today, and I leave for Ecuador tomorrow, and I need the touch of the Lord, and I also need you to bind that long-winded devil, because I feel a long-winded spirit coming on me. Y'all need to bind that thing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the touch of heaven. And God, not only do I want you to touch me this morning, but I want you to touch those that have their hands stretched this way. God, I pray that you would give us a heart and a mind to receive the word of the Lord into our lives that would cause a change. God, we know that you are at work, God, and we're going to let you work. But Lord, we're going to come alongside and do what we need to do in order for you to finish your work in our lives. And the church said, amen. There was a little girl who was busy drawing and coloring with great intensity. And her mother asked, honey, what on earth are you doing? She said, I'm making a picture of God. Her mother said, well, sweetheart, don't you know that nobody knows what God looks like? But the girl never stopped. She just kept going. She goes, honey, you understand that nobody knows what the Lord really looks like. She said, yes, but they will in a few minutes. And in a lot of ways, God is similar to this little girl. Because if it were possible for us to look over God's shoulder and see what he's up to in our lives, we may ask God, Lord, what are you doing? And he'll say, you'll know in a few minutes. You'll know in a little while. If we could look over his shoulder and say, God, where are you at? He would tell us, you'll find out here in a few moments. If we could look over his shoulder and say, God, what are you up to? He would say, you will find out just in a moment. You know, we drive the roads, and periodically we come across signs that says, caution, men work. I want you to know that in your life, caution, God is at work. I want you to understand, when you don't see anything happening, God is at work. I want to remind you that he is working behind the scenes and sees us through the day of our day-to-day living, our day-to-day journey that we call life. I want you to know that God is working. It's been said that life is lived forward and understood backwards. How many knows that sometimes you get through some things and turn around and realize what you learned or what you've been through has caused you to be ready for this season that you're in your life? That if some of you would have gotten through, and if God would have delivered you out of some of the things you wanted delivered out of, that you couldn't handle what he has you in right now. But if you will let God have his process in your life, I promise you, you're going to be better for it. As we go through our day-to-day functions, I fully believe that God is working in every area of our lives. Before we ever get there, he is there working on your life and working on my life, and he's working things out for my good and your good and the good if we will just let him do his work. Can you say amen? Because here's point number one is this, that our tomorrow is God's yesterday. God's already been where we're going. Our tomorrow is God's yesterday. Point one, we fully understand and know, or he fully understands and knows what we're going to be doing and what we're not doing, what we will encounter. He knows what all the strength that we need to get through the next area of our life. He fully understands this. With all that in mind, I want you to write down the couple of scriptures I want to give you and understand that God is at work. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hebrews 13:21, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Realize that your tomorrow is God's yesterday. He's already been there. He's already gone before you and made crooked places straight. He's already gone before you and knows what kind of strength that you need, what kind of wisdom you need. And if you will let him instruct you and guide you with his eye, he'll lead you through the waters that you think is too deep, the storms that you think are too tough, the circumstances that you feel like you can't get through. Hold on to his hand. Look to him, the author and the finisher of your faith, and he will guide you through. And I want you to understand, point number two is this, that God's blessing for you. God's blessing for you. Because following the Lord's plan always brings blessing. I wanted you to hear that. Following God's plan always brings blessing. Now, many of us need miracles, but I've shared this time and time again. And I love the fact that God gives us miracles, but how many understand that the more that you let God guide you, the less miracles you need? Because if you let God guide you, you begin to flow in the blessing of God instead of in just the miraculous of God. Every one of us from time to time, no matter how much we follow, are going to need a miracle. But I recognize the more that I follow the word of God, the less miracles I need because I'm operating in the blessings of God. I want you to know that God is the blesser. I want you to know that he makes you fruitful. He multiplies the seed of whatever you do. And the blessing was passed down from Abraham to you and I. Follow the plan. Well, Brother Reed, I don't know the plan. Well, follow what you do know. Well, Pastor, I don't know nothing. Then read your Bible. There's a roadmap. There's an instruction manual. That if you will read the Bible, if you get a hold of the Word of God and begin to understand it, it will lead you and guide you into all truth. There's some things there that he leaves up to us. But there's some things that he wants, that he is required out of you and I if we're going to be his children. Can you say amen? Doing the wrong thing in the wrong place at the wrong time will not bring blessing, but it will bring the wrong things. And many of us could do and far more accomplish more things in our life if we don't have to go back and straighten up and make things right of poor decisions that you and I make. See, doing the wrong thing is always going to bring the wrong things to you. Following the Lord's plan will get us to the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. And if we're there because we're following God, it is always followed by miracles if that's what it needs. How many knows that sometimes God will take you to places that you're unsure of just to show you how big and strong he is? Oh, help me somebody. You see, here's what he said. Write these down. Proverbs 11:30. The seeds of good deeds become the tree of life. The seeds of good deeds become the tree of life. Wisdom, Proverbs 3:18. Wisdom is the tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tight. Proverbs 15:4. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Psalms 52:8. But I am like an olive tree thriving in the house of God. I will always trust in God's unfailing love. God is at work. He is the blesser. Point number three is this. God is working when the path is rough. Well, maybe you got out of God's will because you're going through trouble. That's a possibility. You know, we Christians get all huffy and puffy when somebody says that. I'm so sick and tired of hearing, you ain't my judge. Shut up. Maybe somebody ought to be your judge. There is one that judges more strong than we do. Hear me now. Because you can fool me. You ain't fooling God. So you better understand. When the journey is long, God is working. When the path is rough, God is working. Isaac was living in Gerar in Genesis 26:6 and was about to go 500 miles when he was told to go there and find a wife. Sometimes the place that the Lord is trying to get us seems so far away, or it takes forever to get there. You see, the problem is we live in a microwave society, and we want it right now. But understand that most of us don't serve a microwave God. We serve a crock pot God. That the crock, I didn't say crack pot, I said crock pot. A crock pot God is something that takes a little bit of time. And how many knows that I ain't ever ate nothing out of the microwave that tastes as good as the crock pot? Come on, somebody. And I promise you that if you try to get something from God that is a microwave a remedy, it will not be as good as the crock pot. Some of us want to just go, happy birthday, there it is. But if you will go through the process, more than likely, you will never get yourself back in that process because you knew the process it took to get you out. My God, somebody hear me. Now, we want to talk about young folk because, and it is true, young folk get married and 3 weeks later want what mom and daddy took 30 years to get. Right? And so we go out and hawk this and hawk that and go in debt here and go in debt there and then wind up losing most of it. But you understand that God is not just a God of today. He's the God of tomorrow. And he's the God of next year. And God is going to work on you. It took him 6 days to create everything on earth, and it's going to take a little time to get you out of the situation that you're in. It's going to take a little time to get you to where you want to be. But all of us want to get there tomorrow. I want deliverance, and I want it now. And if you get deliverance now, some of us wouldn't hold on to it because it didn't cost us enough to get out of it. Help me, somebody. But I've got news for you. Even when the time is rough, and even when the journey is long, he is at work. He's at work on your behalf. He's at work on my behalf. He is at work trying to get you out of the situation. He's at work. When you don't feel like that God is at work, understand, remember the words of this preacher today. He is at work. You might not see him, but he is at work. We are in the back of the car asking God, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And I can see God sometimes look around back at me and say, don't make me stop this car, boy. But I want you to understand that I keep asking, God, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? But you don't get out of the car. You stay in the car and let the car take you where God's taking you. Because if you'll ever get to where God's taking you, that's where the blessing is going to intersect into your life. And there's going to be a change. There'll be a process. But bless God, you will be better off for it if you just understand that the journey is long, but my God is at work. We struggle so hard trying to get to the next place that we feel we need to be at, that we fail to enjoy where we are. You keep looking over the shoulder of the person you're talking to, trying to get to somebody else. Enjoy who you're talking to now. Well, Pastor, I don't like where I'm at. Well, look around and say, bless God. When I get in a situation that it feels like I can't get out, I start looking around and say, God, let me learn everything I need to learn here, because I don't ever want to come back to this place again. Lord, I'll be all right if I don't ever visit this place again, because I want to learn everything that I, and then when I just drive by it, I can look and go, oh, thank you, Jesus, for deliverance. When I go by it, I can, I know what it is, used to be there. But bless God, God was good to me. He led me out of it. He brought me out of it. He brought me through it. And I'm never going back. I may go by there to look just to see where God brought me from, but I'm never going to go back there and live again. Can you say amen? You see, there will be bumps, there will be curves, there will be hills, there will be valleys along the way. But just remember, it is worth it. After all, wherever we are headed, we're not going to get there any faster than God takes us. You can't circumvent it. Those people who try to shortcut are usually short circuit. Well, I don't want to go through that process. I'm going to take the shortcut. How many's ever been through a shortcut that wasn't a shortcut? I remember when GPSs just came out. I was driving a Suburban Comfort, a Southern Comfort. What's that called? Southern Comfort. That's it. Version. Southern Comfort conversion. Suburban. That thing was sweet. Mag wheels. I mean, I was pimping. I ain't gonna lie. It was bad. And so I drove that thing, and I wanted to go to Walmart from Homosassa. I said, I wonder, is there another way? And I put in the coordinates to Walmart, and it started taking me, and I pulled off this road, and it was a dirt road. I go, well, all right. And I started going down a dirt road. Next thing I know, the dirt road turned into a trail. And I was like, Lord Jesus, where am I going? I don't have four-wheel drive. And I went a bit further. It was taking me through the Withlacoochee National Forest, through those trails. And I got to one place. I go, I can't go back through here. And can I tell you, trying to turn that big mamma jamma around in the middle of pine trees was a task in of itself. And I begin to pray, God, if you'll get me out of here, I promise you, I won't ever try to take another shortcut with this thing. Listen, you're trying to take shortcuts, but if you'll just go the way God's guiding you, if you'll just go the way God's preaching to you, if you'll go the way God's telling you to go, it'll get you there, and you won't go through as much heartache as you will if you try to do it on your own. Wherever we are headed, you're not going to get there any faster than God taking you there. Point number four is this: God is working when we don't understand the process. My Lord, I just wish sometimes God would ask me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ask me. I got some things I would like for him to do, like make ice cream healthy. Hey, come on, somebody. I wish he would ask me, but when we don't understand the process, I've got to understand that God is at work. We must realize the importance of process. The importance of process. Now, I know many of you are going to, I better just move on from that. But process. If you take the food out of the crock pot too early, it's going to be raw. It's not going to be as good. You can't rush the process. The process is the process. But we want to rush it. But understand, when we don't understand the process, I don't understand how that you can take brown ground and get green grass from it. And I don't understand how you can take a black cow that eats the green grass that grew from the brown ground and get white milk from it. I don't understand how you take the milk through a process that was given by the black cow who ate the green grass from the brown ground. And you take it through the brass process and it becomes yellow butter. And the same brown ground that gave the green grass, you can plant this other thing and golden wheat comes up out of the same ground, brown ground that used to grow the green grass. And you take the golden wheat from the brown ground that used to grow the green grass and take it through a process and it becomes white flour. And you take the white, and then you take the butter, the yellow butter that came from the brown cow that ate the green grass, or the black cow that ate the green grass that came from the brown ground, and combined it with the white flour that came from the wheat, or the golden wheat that came from the brown ground that used to grow the green grass. And you put those ingredients together and you put it in the oven for about 375 and it comes out brown, golden brown biscuits. I don't understand that whole process. But I don't sit there and go, can you understand? Would somebody tell me about this process? No, I just say, pass the gravy. Pass the gravy. Some of y'all need to look at God and say, God, I don't know how you do it. I don't understand why you're doing it this way. I don't understand how you're going to get it done. But Lord, I'm just waiting for the biscuits to come out of the oven. And I'm going to say, pass the gravy. I'm going to wait patiently right here. I'm going to stand right here until you tell me to go somewhere else. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to do whatever I already know to do in order to receive the blessing of the biscuits when they come out of the oven. Come on, somebody. You need to understand that God is at work when you don't understand the process, because each phase of the process is important finished product. That's what I'm looking for, the finished product. Listen, church, each phase is vital to the next. See, I went to Blountstown, Florida. Anybody know where that's at? Few folks. Wow, y'all been to the end of the edge of the earth too. I went to where is it? You go to the end of the earth, you take a left, and you're halfway there. And I remember going through. Now, remember, I'm from Mobile, Alabama, which was a big town. Even though I lived in the rural area, I'm from the big town. Then I moved from there to Panama City, Florida, the redneck Riviera. And then I moved from there to Blountstown. I remember going through Blountstown, and I made this statement. I said, "Oh, this is a quaint town." Never knew that I would live there in about a year later. And when I got there, I thought, "Oh, this is a quaint town." But about 3 or 4 months into it, when they rolled up the sidewalks at 5:30, I'm like, yeah. My wife would look at me sometimes. I would be in the parsonage, and because I was pastoring a little church there then. I would be doing this, and she'd go, "You got to go, don't you?" I said, "I got to go somewhere. I can't handle it. I got to get out of here. I got to do something." She said, "Okay, let's load up and go to Panama City, and we'll stay there for the night and then come back tomorrow, or we'll come back late tonight." I got stir crazy. But can I tell you, I went there with 18 people to pastor, and God blessed. But here's what I've come by to tell you, that process of Blountstown helped me to be ready for the next phase of my life, which is this. You got to recognize that wherever you are right now might not be the end of where you're going to be, But if you don't go through the process of where you are now, you will not be ready for what's coming down the lane. And some of us, we are unhappy because we have refused to go through the process of this season, and therefore you cannot enjoy the next season because you don't know what you're doing, because you didn't learn in the last season what you needed to learn. You've got to understand the last phase is important to this phase. If you just got to learn, well, bless God, I know what not to do, then that's a phase you got to go through, and then you can enjoy the phase in which you are in now. Understand that when you don't understand the process, God is at work. We started building this church. I didn't understand the process. I asked the contractor, how long before we were into this church? He said, about 10 to 12 months we'll be in it. I was like, woohoo. I started planning my first service. 3 years later, we moved in. We started the process in October 2005. We moved in June, first week of June, June 8th, 2008. The process. You got to understand the process and where you are. Everybody who's ever had your hair colored, there's a process, right? I remember the first time. I remember, where's she at? I thought I saw her. There she is. Remember the first time, Paula? Paula and my wife talked me into getting some highlights in my hair. I don't know what year it was, but it was a long, long time ago. But see, I'm particular about my hair. You may go, well, you vain. No, listen, I only got a little bit to work with, and I got to do the best I can. So we went to the, and so they put the stuff on my hair, and then it had the process. But I had them so nervous about my hair that they didn't give it time to process right, and they didn't understand that my hair pulls red because I have a red-headed mama. And it pulled red, so when I came out, it was orange looking. Woo! I'm telling you, I look like Bozo the Clown. It wasn't quite that bad, but it was real orangey, wasn't it? Hallelujah. And so, you know what happened? I wouldn't give anybody else a chance to do that again. Because I didn't understand the process. And see, the problem is some of us are wanting to get out of the process. And if you do, you're going to wind up with some orange hair. If you do, you're going to wind up with some craziness. And you're going to blame God. But it was your own fault because you didn't stay and get the full process of what God was trying to do. Now, that wasn't her fault. So Shear Sisters, ask for Paula. Come on, somebody. Give you some. That's right. She does my wife's hair. She's a great, great stylist. But what I'm saying is there are so many people who don't want to go through the process. We don't want to go through the process. And what you go through, you got to understand that, you know, most of you know, or many of you know, that our contractor that built this church was not a good businessman. He still owes our church $500,000. He's paying us back $500 a month. It'll take him literally 92 years to pay us back. Well, good Lord, Pastor. No, whatever. The process. In the middle of that process, because at the time things were going so well, I decided, not me, but my wife and I decided, because there was a $10,000 impact fee coming, that we decided, well, if we're going to build our house, we better build it. So we started our house. We built our house in about less than 11 months. We had a great builder, great team, and got it all done. But I'm just saying that you can't start one process until one process is finished. Now I am a master builder. I know. You need it built? Come see me. Mm-hmm. I'm only going to take 27%. I'm just kidding. Don't come see me. I ain't going to do that. Because what I do is get everybody else to do it. Anyway, let me move on. But here's what you got to understand. Everything has a process. Everything has a beginning. Everything has a middle. And everything has an end. And you know what happens to most folks? Most folks get out in the middle and get scared and try to go back to the beginning. But you're just as close to the end. It's just as close to the end as it is the beginning. So just go through the process. Let it happen. The aspects of our lives are always going to be developing. God is using these things. Here comes an ugly word. To mature us. Here's my next point. God is working when we don't see any progress. Come on now. Here's what the builder told me when we started building this church. He said, you're going to see things happen quickly. When we begin to move the dirt, man, it's going to look big. When we start putting up the iron, it's going to look big. When we start putting around the outside, you're going to see process. When we start putting up the walls, you're going to see process. But then it's going to have a time when you don't see much happening because everything is the intricate details. That's when we're running the wire and you don't see it. That's when we're putting in the ACs and you don't really see it. Now, the problem with us is there were sometimes, there went a whole summer that this was like a ghost town. I'd come up in here and go, where everybody at? I'd walk up on the stage. Go, where is everybody? Ain't nobody here. That's because they done quit working. But anyway, because the contractor wasn't paying them. But what I'm trying to tell you is that when you don't see any progress, understand that God is still working. See, we want God to clue us in on everything. We want to know the process. Some of us because we want to know. Some of us because we nosy. But understand he's working on you. When you don't see any progress. You ever see folks like, man, they ain't ever going to change. They ain't ever going to change. By God, they ain't ever going to change. I should just take them outside and just shoot them in the head. Now listen, we do not condone that. So don't leave here and do that. If you do, claim ISIS. Anyway. That was a really bad joke. It really was. I'm sorry. But still, don't do it, period. All right? So, but here's the deal. We don't see any progress. We're like, Lord, just do something with them. But then all of a sudden, have you ever seen somebody and you say, no change, no change, no change, no change, no change, no change. And then all of a sudden, bam! It's like they come out of nowhere and change happens. You're like, hallelujah, what happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. You didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. You didn't know what was going on, but God was still at work. How many times have you prayed and prayed and prayed and you see nothing, but all of a sudden, bam, there it is, and your blessing's there. Bam, it is, and you have a breakthrough. You didn't see anything happening, but God was at work behind the scene. Because let me tell you about the Chinese bamboo tree. The Chinese bamboo tree. Seems that this tree, when planted, watered, and nurtured for an entire growing season, doesn't outwardly grow as much as an inch. It will be four more growing seasons in which the farmer takes extra care to water, fertilize, care for the bamboo tree before the farmer sees a change. It grows 1 inch and stays there for 4 to 5 growing seasons. Is that crazy? No, here's the crazy part. In the 5th or 6th year, that Chinese bamboo seems finally sprouts and the bamboo tree grows up to 80 feet in just one growing season. Nothing, and then you walk out jacking the beanstalk. Nothing? Oh, I'm tired of watering this thing. Tired of fertilizing this thing. Tired of watching this thing. 4 years go by. Nothing. Good Lord Jesus. I am wasting my God, somebody hear me. I am wasting my time. Oh, but the 5th year comes and bam! You see, oh, hallelujah. Every day you walk out, it's a little bit taller. Every day you walk out, it's a little bit taller. I mean, I don't know, 80 feet
in 365 days. That's a year. But we're talking about a growing season. So you know there's change happening every day. And I love it when I see God moving like that. But when I don't see God moving, when I don't see God doing any process, my God help me. When I don't see God doing anything, I still got to water. I still got to fertilize. I still got to do what I know to do. Because you never know when it's that growth spurt. You never know when it's the fifth year. You never know when the 80 feet of growth is going to come. It wasn't dormant for 4 years. It wasn't dormant for 4 years and only grew the fifth. No. The little tree was growing underground, developing a root system strong enough to support the potential for outward growth in the fifth year and beyond. See, you did not, my God. I'm sorry, y'all just going to have to give me a moment to let me just go ahead and have myself a time. Not God, because you don't understand. When you don't see anything happening, there's stuff happening underneath the ground, that there's a support system, there is a root system that's getting ready to support what's about to happen. You don't see it on the outside, but you got to be able to see it underneath. You got to be able to see it in the spirit realm. You might not see it in the physical, but God is at work. Would you just slap somebody a high five and tell them, God is at work. Had the tree not developed a strong, unforeseen foundation, it could have not sustained the growth that happened. Some of you trying to grow too fast. Let the Lord settle you. Let the Lord do the work underneath so that when you grow up, you can be able to stand. My Lord, Pastor John, 6'5". He has a 15 wide foot. 15. Why? It's got to be that big. Can you imagine Pastor John, 6'5", with a little seven, wearing a little seven shoe? Walking around on some stilts. Be able to push him, just to push him over. No, his son ain't much better. His son's wearing a size 12 or 13 already. 15 years old, little old scrawny thing. What are you saying? Man, he had to get some skis for shoes, skis for feet, so that it can support him when he begins to shoot up. Are you listening to me? Some of us got to understand that you might not see anything happening on the outside. You don't see any growth, but you don't know what God is doing underneath. Pastor, I've been praying for 3 years and I haven't seen any change. You don't know what God's doing on the root system. You don't know what God's doing underneath. You don't know what God's about to grow in you and grow through you. If you will just let God have his way, he is at work. Had the tree not developed a strong unseen foundation, it could not have sustained its life as it grew. You want me to tell you what happens with some ministries, some churches? Listen, I get, you know, I'm not used to criticism, but I'm used to criticism. Because people say, Pastor, you're a little slow to move. My wife calls me mule, not because I'm stubborn. Well, maybe a little bit because I'm stubborn. But I try to weigh, looking at my motorcycle friends over here, because I try to, see, here's what a horse will do. A horse will run off a cliff because they don't weigh every step. A donkey is stubborn and won't move anywhere. But a mule is a cross between a horse and a donkey. But they weigh every step. They're slow but methodical. They weigh every step. And so I get criticized sometimes. Pastor, you need to start this. Pastor, we need. No, no. We're going to wait and let the system grow. We're going to let the foundation get built. So because we ain't going to let just anybody. Pastor, I came here to start a ministry. And you wouldn't let me start, so I got to move somewhere else. Well, move on, baby. Because I don't know you. You might be crazy. Because Lord forbid, we know ain't ever anybody ever been demon possessed, but yet started ministry. Come on, somebody. No, I got to get to know you. If I'm going to put my name on, if I'm going to put Crystal River Church of God on you, I need to know who you are. If you want my stamp of approval, I got to know you. Well, the Spirit knows me. If the Holy Ghost knows me, I ain't got to have nobody else know me. You better tell the Holy Ghost to find me. Because you better let the Holy Ghost tell me he knows you. Come on, somebody. Now, I ain't going to take your word. I don't know how I got off on that. Well, I do, but I ain't going to go there. But anyway, God is working. Number six, I think I'm done. God is working when you don't know the outcome. Don't you wish God would just tell you the outcome sometimes? And you, because you can go through stuff if you know the outcome. You could know, if you knew what the outcome is going to be, oh, that's going to be all right. But let me tell you, I don't know the outcome of your situation, but I know the outcome of your life. We win. We win. We win. The devil loses, and you and I, the Christian, the victor, we win. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thought I was done. Just come on up here and sit down, because I got three more points, Lord. I thought I was done. God is working when you don't know. And let me give you some scripture real quickly. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are more than your thoughts. If you remember Jochebed, anybody know who Jochebed is? Jochebed was Moses' mama. She don't get a lot of prime time in the Bible, but she was Moses' mama. And what Jochebed did was she understood that the king Pharaoh was killing all the male babies, so she built a little bulrush for Moses, put him in the Nile River, and pushed him on down. But she didn't say, "Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be." She told her daughter Miriam, "Go watch over him. Go watch out. You might not know the outcome of what's going on, but I got you to know that God is watching over you. God is watching over the process. He didn't just leave you to the process. He's watching you through the process. He didn't just leave you out there with the Nile and with the crocodiles. No, he said, Miriam, go out there and oversee. Go out there and look over what's going to happen to my baby. And I want you to know that whatever God has birthed in you and through you, he's watching over you to perform it if you will let him guide you with his eye." Hallelujah. If you're standing on a word from God, I think that was the word the Lord gave us this morning. If you're standing on a word from God, what you are standing on will outlast what you're going through. Number seven, I'm skipping a bunch of things. I got to skip. Just go with me, Mike. Number seven, God is working in his timing. Boy, I'm telling you what, I think sometimes God is on island time. How many know what I'm talking about? Island time. Man, you go to Jamaica. What time you start? Oh, man. You start church around 7. It could be an hour around 7. It's usually always after the time. But we're going to get the, you know. I said, man, I got to be at, I got a taxi one time. We was in Jamaica. And I said, I got to make it to the airport. Oh, man, no problem, man. I said, like, hey, it's going to be a problem to leave me. No problem, man. You're in Jamaica. I was like, man, you better get me to the airport. Being up here late. God has a lot to say about timing. In the fullness of time, Elizabeth delivered. Now, every mama in here knows what it is about full term. And nobody wants your baby to come out unhealthy. Everybody wants your baby to go full term. Even in the 8th month when you're ready to get that thing out. Even in the 8th month when your belly button done poked out like a turkey and it means that it's done. Come on, somebody. You know you're ready for it to come out. I don't know if my wife will let me say that in 11 o'clock, so we'll just, I don't know, it just came out. But you know what I'm talking about. When you're 8 months pregnant, you're like, oh, Jesus, I'm just ready to get this baby out of me. Ah. But you want it to be well done. You want it to be full term. And so you got to understand, some of us are delivering things out of our spirit before it is full term. Oh, my Lord, I'm preaching this morning. I can't wait. I'm going to listen to it online. God gives us seasons, and each season has its purpose. In the spring, flowers bud so that we'll have flowers for the summer. In early spring, you plant the garden to have your summer vegetables. In the fall, the leaves change and shed so the trees can conserve water and dry season. The wintertime comes and kills off insects and bugs. Plants and trees rest and go dormant only to return in the spring. God is faithful. Number 8 is this. God is working when he is the furthest from my mind. Well, Brother Reed, I don't believe that. Well, this doesn't matter what you believe. It's the truth. Now, you need to believe it because there are truths that are truths even if you don't believe it, but you don't get the effect of it until you believe what is truth. My God, that's a word right there. Here's what Genesis 28:11 says. And he, Jacob, lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place for sleep. I've had some nights like that. Even while he tarried, the Lord is even working on our behalf. When we are asleep, the Lord is working on our behalf. When he is not in the forefront of our minds, he is working. How do you know? He locked the jaws of the lions in Daniel 6. He turned down the temperature for the Hebrew boys in Daniel 3. Church, hear me. He sent fish to the other side of the boat in Luke chapter 5. He sent fish to pay the taxes in Matthew 17. And even when we do not have the Lord in the forefront of our minds, he is working. He is ever working to make intercession for us. Jesus is praying for you. The challenges which come before us can come up anywhere. At home, children, husband, marriage, finances, on the job at the church, or in school. God is saying, I'm all you need, and I am the one that's working on your behalf. Listen. Isaiah chapter 61, reading from the New Living Translation. To care for the needs of all who mourn in Zion, give them bouquets of roses instead of ashes. Messages of joy instead of news of doom. A praising heart instead of a languished spirit. Rename them oaks of righteousness planted by God to display his glory. They'll rebuild the old ruins, raise the new city out of the wreckage, because you got a double dose of trouble and more than your share of contempt. Your inheritance is in the land will be doubled and your joy shall go on forever. Man, when you see the enemy mess with you, when you feel the enemy that has thrown you double trouble, understand that you're about to get a double trouble blessing. Going to get double for your trouble. Come on, somebody. Understand God is at work. Now, whatever you came here for today, no matter what season you're in, no matter what you think about God and where he is, know that he is right here, right now, to reassure you that he is at work. He's at work. He's at work doing what only God can do. Come on, stand to your feet. I know I've went a little bit long. I got to be done. Our family focus hour is beginning. If you really need or want God to work in your life, you've got to have a relationship with him. You know, I've known, come here, John. I've known John 22 years probably, at least. And I want you to know, I've been through some stuff with this boy. He's put me through some stuff. Ooh, Jesus. I told God, let me kill him, and let me just tell you he died. But here's what I know. Come on up here where they can see you, John. Here's what I know. Because of my relationship with John, I believe, now don't, I believe you, I might be wrong, and don't tell me if I am right now, because it really messes up the analogy. But I believe anything John has, within reason, if I really needed it, here you go, absolutely, Pastor. If I need him to come help me, he asks me all the time, Pastor, you need anything? I keep telling him $1 million. He ain't come through on that, but anyway. But hey, he's trying. But what I'm trying to say is because of my relationship with him, I believe that he would do almost anything within reason. But now there's some of you out there, I don't know who you are. If I came to John, because John knows me, and I go, John, man, I need $50. If it's in his power, he would probably. If it's in his power, he would do it. But now if I came up to you and go, hey, bro, I need $50. What would you go? What would you say? I don't know you. I just met you. I just came to church today. Lord, I came here because somebody drugged me here. I don't know you. Right? If I want John to help me, I need to be in relation with him. But because I've known him for 20 years and I know him and he knows me, we know each other real well. I depend on him. He depends on me. Am I listening? That's the way it is with God. If you see, you got to know who you can depend on, right? And I know I can depend on God because of my relationship with him. So if you don't have a relationship with God, I'm not talking about you just come see him every week, but you don't know him. I see some of y'all every week, but I still can't remember your name. But John, I know because I know him. I see him more than once a week. I talk with him and we know each other. We've known each other for years. We've been through some stuff. I know God and he knows me. So if you don't know him, I'm going to give you that opportunity. Come on, bow your heads. If you don't know him, I promise you I won't embarrass you. But if you don't know him as your Savior, you don't know him as your friend, you don't know him as your Lord, would you slip up a hand and say, Pastor, I need to. I see those hands. God bless you, hon. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? You can put your hand up, put it right back down. Hallelujah. I see that hand. God bless you, hon. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I want to know you as my Father. Forgive me of my sin. And I come to you with all humbleness and ask you to be my guide, to be my God. Help me to have a relationship with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, for those of us, and because of time, here's how I got to do it. If you just need to know that God is working, come on, just lift your hand. Pastor, I just need to know. I believe, but I just need to know. Hands all over this place. Give me some singers real quickly. I want them to do this song again. And if you're around somebody that has their hand up, I just want you to lay your hand. Now listen, Pentecostal, don't shake and bake nobody. Just lay your hand on them. Just lay your hand on them. And pray, God, show yourself strong to them. Come on, let's do that right now. Oh, I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.